Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
Okay, let's get started. I am called by different names. I prefer to be Brother Nazim Pasha, and that's the one that I'm going to introduce myself as. And I had served in the capacity as an imam some years ago, and then I realized I was more of a business-minded person and could make my contribution to the community that way. So I'm just your brother, you know. I try to know about the religion because that's the only way you can really lead by example. It's the only way you can really know a thing is that you continue to study it and let it present itself to you in a way where you are now in possession of it and it now possesses you. That's the goal I recommend. It has served me for all these years because there's a lot of things going on in the world. Just in general, I'm talking about, you know, changes that I can go back and remember when they weren't even thought of, but here they are. And they're troublesome to some people, and it's a challenge to have to transition so quickly, so fastly. I mean, you saw things that were just there and they just dropped out. You know, they're not around anymore. And it's just some of the things and the way that they're teaching the children. It's just, I thought I would never see something like that. But it's happening. And as long as we're above ground, we have to, I won't say go with the flow, roll with the punches. That's not the strategy. That's not the answer. But be aware that these changes aren't going to change. They've come into existence because there's a creator who allowed them to come into existence. We as human beings, we get territorial, we get greedy, we get look what I've got and look what I'm going to do, and we start talking like we have some kind of relationship with this creator that when it comes out, I got dibs on that. No. When you make a discovery, you're supposed to share it. Others who are less fortunate or who do not have who does not appeal to them to pursue that. The greatest thing you can do, we can do, when we discover something, is immediately share it. Don't think about, well, if I share it, they might get to the production line before me. I won't make $1 million off of this, and I won't make that much. No. Those aren't the thoughts that's going to get you and that entity that you discovered, give you what you think it's going to give you. You know. The people, we know the history of people who make discovery. They're there in the history books for being this and being that. And there are some people who didn't make the history book for whatever reason. But if you go back and do that review, which is what we're going to do a little bit today, we're going to do a little history lesson, you'll see the most joy, the most revered people, as a result of the people who came behind them, students who followed, people who really benefited, had to say, they had an unblemished character report, you know, because money will make you do foolish things. Sex will make you do foolish things. Drugs will make you do foolish things. So if you're able to stay away from that and stay away healthy-minded about that and be fully developed in all areas of your life, you won't have those problems. So when you step up to the pulpit or up to the stage or to the microphone and you announce your discovery and announce that it's going to help so many people and you're going to make it with all the quality that you can and you're going to make it affordable. You see? So I'm just sort of talking and introducing myself. Maybe some other people will be on here a little bit later. and we'll get, well, we're not going to punish the punctual, as they used to say, or they still say. So basically, let me declare myself. You know, I've told you a little bit about what my mind is and what my intentions are a little bit. But basically, this is El Islam-based conversations. Some people say ABC, that's smaller for them, it works for them. That's not a problem with me, you know. When I changed my name, I had so many people wanting to give me a nickname, or they mispronounced my name, and oh, it was just whatever, you know. So I said, okay, I'll accept the challenge. It's my name, my choice. So let me prepare myself to deal with some welcome and some unwelcome observations about my choice to change my name in a Western society that English and Christianity and Judaism is the dominant religious forces, you know. But if we really conduct ourselves as Muslims, introduce ourselves via the Holy Quran, the Noble Quran, and the life and example of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a lot of those problems will go away. Now, what will happen, though, for those people who have an agenda, then it doesn't matter what you say or who you say or what you do. It doesn't matter. They have an agenda. They're never going to like you. They're never going to give you equal status. They're never going to invite you to the table with that in mind. But because we have at our disposal the truth, it doesn't matter that they don't extend their invitation. It doesn't matter that they're trying to undermine what's being said and done. It doesn't matter that they're trying to keep us divided and conquered. What does matter is that you have to have the kind of, we have to have the kind of belief system that we can go to war with that belief. Not with it, but as ammunition against those who don't believe like that and who openly declare that they're going to be coming to attack us from the right and from the left and from the front and from the behind and lay on the path that we have to go to get to our destination to corrupt us. That's a pretty bold statement to come out and tell people what you're going to do and then do it in such a deceptive way. And when people's guards are down and when they're relaxed and it's just so enticing and appealing that you have success. But know this one thing. That type of success, he has no power over what you give him. The Satan, the devil, the shaitan, whatever you choose, whatever word you choose to say or describe or recognize. Scripture tells us that entity, that being, that however you want to see him, has no power over what we give him. Now, what becomes the problem is that we give him power and we make the mistake of giving him equal power with God. God tolerates or gave him a certain amount of time, you know, to do his thing. Now, that's a lot of people say, well, then God and the devil was partners. No, not quite. God was clear enough about his power and aware of all of the control to get things back manageable again or get a right the order again and remove the chaos and address the darkness was more than covered. And why do I say that? Because I know individually I was in the dark, tool and a fool and all of that. And once I admitted that and I submitted to letting someone help me understand some of the things that I didn't know and some of the things that I thought I knew, but that just weren't true. That's humility there, see? If you don't have a sufficient amount of humility, you won't be able to stay in the room. You'll get uncomfortable because you'll realize all this time, all these X amount of years that you've been on earth, you were in the dark about something. And now that something is coming to light. And you got to stand behold before the whole world, just like everybody else is in the world, and have to admit, I didn't know that I didn't know, but I was acting like I did know. And it could be good and swallow your pride, Take some water if you have to and push it on down, because that's what it's going to take. A lot of humility is what it's going to take to accept that. And to keep, you can, people come and go, see. They come in and the numbers, man, you got all these people listening and they takbir and Allahu Akbar and Alhamdulillah and all that on and on. After a while, it loses interest. Yeah. It loses interest. You give the people the credit on the way out the door, or on the way to the next agenda that you think is important. The whole challenge. Not so much for me, because I've experienced it. I've seen it over and over and over again. My little resume of da'wah and trying to go out and, we used to call it fishing, but it's on da'wah. We don't proselytize. We introduce people to see if there's any interest in what we have to say. And we should have some material that introduces and answers a few questions and lets them know this is just like a test drive. We're obligated and we're obligated to make sure that you're making a conscious choice. We don't want you to be a blind follower. See? And we don't want to believe that we did some wonderful work on you and now you believe in God and you're going to serve him and be a believer and do all those things that we want done from people who believe in the community. No, there's no compulsion. There's no trickery. There's no packaging Happy Meals and giving them to people, telling them that all your problems are going to go away and you're going to be on easy street and Allah is going to be this get out of jail card and he's going to give you riches and give you virgins and he's going to do it. No, no, no. It doesn't work like that. We're only allowed to tell you the truth to the best of our ability. And if that's not enough, it doesn't matter. Because that's all we have. See? All we have is the truth. That establishes the reality that you exist in. If you're in possession of that, even though it's the darkest of nights out there, you in the light. And because you're in the light, when the sunlight comes up, you're not blinded. You're not uncomfortable by that light. Because that light is no comparison to the light of God, the truth of God. In fact, he shows us and tells us and explains to us that is there to serve you. If you're going to get what you get from it, to serve me. Bunch of serving going on there. The sunlight, like all the other stuff in the creation, will serve us. After it serves us, the gratitude that we should be experiencing, the obedience that we should be have come to after we've heard this truth and heard something that resonates with us. What I heard may not resonate with you. My conversion might not be what converted you or made you want to be a part of this community. But it's all coming from the same creator, coming from the same God. So eventually, because that's true, it'll produce a bond, and there's a word, the ethos, a unity, people looking for, how do we unite more? How do we get other people to want to do what we're trying to do? We need a lot of helpers, and we need all this. How do you get that? You get it by just what I told you. You come alive, thing called life, because you're empowered by truth. And you go out with this truth, just like it says in the Bible, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine. Where are you going to let it shine? Everywhere I go. From the time that I get up to the time I go to bed, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine. Oh, brother, stock for the law. You're quoting the Bible on the Muslim show. That's not what I did. I quoted the guidance that's in the Bible. It was in the same guidance that's in the Quran, the same message that we get from in the Bible that Jesus got, Muhammad got. Because the language is different and everything, and it addresses something that maybe the Bible doesn't address, or maybe the Bible got corrupted and you got corruption mixed with some good translation. We're not mad at what the message that Jesus brought. We're not unconnected to it. So we're not having a problem with Jesus. See? So we need to clear that up in your mind. We're having a problem with those people who are saying things and said things about Jesus and also didn't follow the word. They didn't develop the Christ consciousness to be able to do what Jesus was sent for them to help them understand. But that the same thing that Allah and God, the creator or whatever, knew, I'm going to send my man, the final prophet. And he's going to do or complete everything else that they didn't do. But he's not there to turn you against the ones in the past, because you got to know your past before you can know something about your future. So if you were having trouble with that, that's the transition we got to make. You're not going to the Bible for guidance and wisdom necessarily, but you're not ignoring the guidance and the witness that's in there. You're in a predominantly, we're in a predominantly Judeo-Christian society. How you going to get along with people and you can't speak their language? And you don't acknowledge, you're going to turn around on them like they turn around on us, and you're going to boycott them or tell them all of them are going to hell because they don't believe what you believe. Not going to work. If you follow the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made peace, but he also made treaties and made friends and made alliances with other people. He didn't do what they said was done. It didn't get spread by the sword. When he went to war, it's because he had to go to war. But he wasn't a warmonger. He wasn't capturing people and putting them under the Muslim. That came later. It did. It came later. People started doing that because they got influenced by that influence I just told you about earlier. Power and all that coming to you in such great volumes, you get a little tipsy if you're not careful. You have to really have a relationship with the Creator. At least you say, oh, look what I got. Look what I'm doing. Look what we can do. Man, look at these people. They don't know nothing. Let's put a blindfold over them and just lead them all anywhere we want to. We get access to their wealth, their money, their everything, you know. And we do it in the name of God. We do it in the name of Allah. We do it in the name of the Holy Quran. We find the scriptures that translate into us being able to do that, and we do it. And you make a big step towards your ending. And anybody else who does something like that, the minute that they invented and birthed the form of slavery that puts us in slavery, that was the minute that they started undoing their contribution. They start undoing their blessing from the Creator. Even though the money said, in God we trust. You know, God bless America. God blessed America until America stopped doing what God told them to do to get the blessing. God doesn't change how he does things. That's the requirement. God is good and he only accepts good. Especially when you're doing it in his name. These are people who say they're Christian. They're Jewish people. They believe in a book. They believe in what Moses brought. They believe in what Jesus brought. But then when you see their behavior, when you see the language that's being spoken, when you see the difficulty with everyday life, people can't manage everyday life. Something was said, something was did. Some people took advantage because they were in positions of power. And instead of us being able to recover and not become victims of that discrepancies, we become victims. And we think we have a crutch called slavery or rape or whatever hardship we faced. We now fall back on it, lean on it as a crutch to justify why we didn't. Nobody knows the trouble I seen. And we come up with the blues and all kind of songs and everything to justify all kind of stuff, that present day stuff, Black Lives Matters and all that. Yeah. I'm not attacking those. I mean, I'm sure the people are sincere. But it comes to a time when what you've done over and over and over again, and it's not giving you the results that you want, and you can see clearly what you're trying to address hasn't been addressed because it's still alive and well in a lot of people. But you cannot not say that we haven't come a long way. And you have to also add to that statement, but we have a long way to go. Now listen to that. Listen to that. Who does we be talking about? That's going to get you saying, they ain't going to let you do that. They just let you go so far, and then they going to do what they do, and they. But I just talk about we. So if we love one another, unite with one another, look at the history that we had to show us that we can do the things that we're talking about doing, to be interdependent but also independent, to understand that we were put in a trick bag, producing the Willie Lynch letters and all that. They cast a spell on us as a people. They took us down to zero. And out of that zero came a domesticated Negro. That's just the truth. Embarrassing or hurtful or painful as it may be, that's what happened. But guess what? The same God we've been talking about, the same Allah, the same God, the same Yahweh, the same Jehovah, whatever, allowed it to happen. Why? Because he knew that they would produce a new people that has survived all of that, and they know, and they are unjust to their circumstances if they don't bear witness. God is still God, and he answers prayers. And even though it was the worst inhumane type of slavery ever committed in the history of man, it didn't change the ability of God to resurrect dead people and put them back on the path that they need to be on. And if we start looking at our life like that, rather than moaning and groaning and complaining and explaining what happened 300-400 years ago. Look at us now. And look at what got us blessings then. We had institutions. People that could barely read and write committed to the process. Sojourner Truth from Harriet Tubman. On and on and on. Frederick Douglass. Elijah Muhammad, Muhammad Ali, Malcolm X, Imam W.D. Muhammad. Pick your one. You know, I got to put Mr. Farrakhan in there. I don't have to, but I'm going to. He's a spokesman that people are listening to. What am I saying? I'm saying we didn't get into this thing. It was a divine plan. And I'm saying also, we don't have to ever understand everything about it. You don't know everything about your cell phone. You don't know everything about your car. You don't know what the future of your marriage and your children are going to be like. You want to raise them right. You hope they go out there and do something worthwhile, talking about, make a contribution. But you don't know that. You don't know if the world going to eat them up and grab them and turn them around and have them spinning on their head doing dances and profane poetry and calling it some kind of hip-hop or something. You don't know. Do know is that doesn't change the Creator. He's going to answer the call of those who say, I believe in you. I put my trust in you when all else fails. I see a lot of people getting hung up, dropping out, talking about Allah's God, but everything is real, all that stuff, and they done got too old, and they trying to get something out of life before they go, all of that. Nothing wrong with that necessarily. But I do know for those that were given much, or for those that are given much, much is required. You don't have just an ordinary story. It's very unique, very different. And it provokes a lot of thinking on people's part, and a lot of questions get asked, and a lot of jokes get told as a result. But right about now, at this stage of the game, at this point in time, it's time for us to take charge of our story and tell our own story. That's the call. That's the call to arms. Because guess what? If you look around, people telling our story and making buku money. People rewarding a few people to represent us. And they don't ask you, do you relate to these people? Do you endorse them? Do you listen to their music? Do you buy whatever? Are you a fan of Jay-Z and Beyonce? Are they a power couple to you? And on and on. And if you haven't thought about it, that's what's happening. We didn't elect Jay-Z and Beyonce. They got elected because they have celebrity status, and they got a lot of money. And they go and do things and get invited to places that we don't even can't even spell the names and stuff. So because this is a capitalistic society, everybody think, you know, well, of course, you know, they are the power couple. They do. We got to have some role models and blah, blah, blah. But they don't have to be the modern day ones, especially if they're not representing us in a wholesome way. I got no comments about the brother. Well, I do have one. I wish he would have less hair and more subtle nuances with his hair. Put something on it and cut it down and put something on it and make it look like it's not just, I don't know, just woke up and walked out, just hit it a couple times. No, that was a pride thing with us before. Because everybody talked about our kinky hair. So more is not better, just for the sake of more. Longer, blonde, red, purple, blue, green, whatever you put in it, however long it's supposed to be, braids and dreads and this and that. Give attention to what's in your head than what's on your head. And see what happens. That's the challenge. Don't expect the fashion statement that you're going to make with your dreads long down almost to your back and blonde, and then you got the matches your shirt and matches your blouse and matches your shoes and on and on. Because some kind of way we got into this fashion statement and the need to make one, and it doesn't answer the other questions. Why do you need that? Why do you need whatever? And I know it's going to take time, so I'm not necessarily preaching on that. But I want you to think about this. This is this history lesson. Let me tell you about history. Why history got to be, and research got to be so a big thing in my life. When I was in the Nation of Islam, and I heard this statement, and I heard people say who said it and when they said it and everything. But what I heard was something that gave me the power to put things in perspective that I hadn't been able to do before. And it goes like this. History rewards those who study it, but those who do not study it will repeat it. The wisdom there. I study what's going on then to better prepare myself for now. We always say that. If I knew now what I knew then. Is that right? Let's see. Let me think now. Oh. If I knew then what I know now, I think that's it. Right. Yeah, that's it. Because when you look back and you see all those mistakes that we made that didn't have to get made, if we just had a scene, this ain't working. It didn't work for them, and it's not going to work for me. But we're blind to it. We don't recognize that that's what's going on. And as a result, bingo. From the skillet to the frying pan. That was said a long time ago. A lot of people, you know, maybe don't even want to remember it or don't remember it. But that was the predicament of a lot of people, but it was born from us. Getting a little bit of success or going back to the same old set of circumstances and expecting it to work. That's a classic idea of somebody crazy. That's insanity. That is the clinical definition of insanity. Trying to get something to work that didn't work before and you're still trying to get it to work. It proved to you it wasn't going to work. And there you are again, wasting your time, trying to get it to work. No matter what anybody says, you're hell-bent on, I'm going to make this work. I'm going to force it. I'm going to get this square peg in this round hole. That's what it looks like to the outside people. That you are ignoring the wisdom that came to you when it said there's no fool like an old fool. I know you heard that. But when I heard it, I really heard it. I said, I'm not going to let that be me. I'm not just going to get old and still trying to do the same thing I did before because that ain't going to work. Then it's not going to work now. So why do so many people find themselves in that lane? It's easy to do when you ignore the signs that will get you out of that lane. One of them, which we used to do, we don't do anymore, people get mad if you try to do it, is we had older people we looked to and turned to, and they would pull our coat. They would make us recognize, it's okay, blood, young blood, you know, you're still wet behind the ears. Got a little growing to do, we got a little education to get, and you be on top of your game. But like my uncle said, you got to handle your business. What does that mean? You got to be responsible and accountable. Responsibility for what you did and what you didn't do. And then be accountable. What does that mean? I did it. I'm guilty. And I'm going to repent to the point that I can be redeemed. And I'm not going to do it no more. Now, I'm still going to have problems, but I'm not going to have that problem. And these, for me, is the kind of conversation you need to have. But as we progress, it's going to be more El-Islam-based conversations. We're still talking about what I'm going to be talking about, but we're going to be talking about it in the context of what does El-Islam, what is the Holy Quran, what is the life example of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? But same thing. Because in each one of these scenarios that we're talking about, there's two factors that are the same. And that is culture and tradition. Our problem, or one of our problems, clarify that. One of our problems, this is probably up there with one of the biggest one of our problems, is we don't have the culture in place like the other people. We had that robbed of, we were robbed of that. So what does that mean? You got to get it back. You got to get the identity crisis resolved. You can't say one thing and then act another way. As I used to say, either you is or you ain't. Is you is or is you ain't. So are you going to take heed to the fact that the culture is lacking? I'm not comfortable with this definition that they're giving of a black man or a black woman. You know, people be looking at these stereotypical images that they get on TV. They still got us pimping and playing and getting killed in the movie earlier, or some kind of nasty guy. When he does get killed, nobody feels sorry because he was such a nasty, vulgar person. Or the classic comedian. But the dignified role that Sidney Poitier played in a lot of his movies, you know, flex with him, call me Mr. Tips. But he progressed from the little ones that they gave him, and he got spit on, and he got called nigger. But he had a dignified life, wonderful wife, beautiful children. And he finally rode on off into the sunset and got on his island and realized that part of my life is over. But I'm able to live a comfortable, affordable life, and I feel like I made a contribution in the area as a pioneer. And God knows best, but we got to have more of that and less of the other stuff. You got to have some role models. You got to have somebody with a conscience and credentials so that when they go to that, they don't just take any role. Just long as it paid, you know, they had Will Smith calling him the 4th of July guy. He come out with I guess it was Men in Black, and he come out with a movie every October or whatever, and he made X amount of millions. But you fast forward. Look at him now. How can you walk up and do what he did to someone who's had that done to him by other people? On public TV, you walk up and do the all for an innuendo. Both of y'all are comedians. He made a joke. Why not whisper in his ears, take him a piece of paper, and tell him, man, don't leave that. That's off limits. How you get so angry to do it and then later on realize how stupid you were and then you apologize? It means that our emotions and urges and are not under our control. That's what it means. It also means we need to do something about that. It can't be a regular occasion. It can't just be happening. We get so angry. We don't know how to correct one another. In the spirit of, hey, man, look, I know you're trying to, you know, you may be whatever. But that's, you know, that's a little tender area there, man. You know, just leave it alone. But anyway, I'm going to stop right there. So those are the kind of things that's holding us back. When people see the way we are capable of doing to one another, see? And people, you know, I had people tell me when I was out there talking, white man was a devil, blonde hair, blue-eyed devil. My greatest enemy are these N-words up the streets. They the one. And it produced, you know, humor and everything to try to put it in perspective, but that was what was going on with a lot of people. They were greatly abused by their own people, you know, and that's what happens in other categories. They got this molestation, you know, stranger danger. The people who get molested are by people that they knew, the greatest majority of them. And that's a fact. And it goes across the board. You know, trusted people who should have your best interests at heart violate your innocence and destroy your innocence at an early age and just turn your trust and everything upside down. What did I do to deserve that? What did I have that was so special that they took it from me when I was 9, 8, 7 years old, 6? And they kept doing it over and over and over again. See, we don't look at why stuff affects people. when you don't have answers that address those kind of things, it will have you walking around functioning, but on the brink of insanity, because you just don't know. And a lot of people have it as it relates to race. You just don't know. There's a God. Why did he let that happen? And they do just like they do when they're calling on the police. Where's God when you need him? God is a God of mercy and love. But he placed a lot of what we're supposed to be doing and not doing here on earth, on us. I give you a whole planet, and a lot of universes you're finding out now. You can go over here and fly up and bring some pictures of the moon and Jupiter and Neptune and all this kind of stuff. And at the rate that you're going, you'll be able to fly to another planet like you're doing to these cities and countries here on Earth. So I'm not supposed to make heaven for you on Earth. You have instances of where you have a little heaven on Earth, but if you want that heaven on Earth like it's supposed to be, follow the instructions and quit letting yourself get under the influence of what we told is your open enemy. He's laughing at you and proving to you, to a God, that, see, this is your Khalifa. Look at him. Look at her. How you going to function and you that mad? How you going to function and you got to go home and get drunk to get through the day? So you're a functioning alcoholic. You're a functioning drug head. Now, you say, well, ain't nobody on here doing it. I ain't talking about him, us doing it. I'm talking about the people that we got to go and talk to about embracing this life. They're doing it. So you got to cut through that before you can get to them, so you can show this beautiful religion that we got to them and help them understand. You ain't got to do that. You ain't got to turn to drugs to get through day. You ain't got to be wishing for Friday on a job that's closer to Monday than it was when you wished for, thank God it's Friday. So what am I saying? We have to examine our logic. And you'll see the logic is illogical. That the things that are suppressing us are irrational. But they are effective because we haven't done what we need to do to keep it from being affected. We're giving away our power to anger, to a lack of being comfortable in our own skin. It shows up every now and then. If you're honest with yourself, you'll admit it's true. This world can be challenging. And it might not be that they cow you down and you don't want to do this and you don't feel comfortable doing that. No. They subconsciously or subtly put you in your place. One of the ways that's done is they manifest to you the double standards. If you watch the dunk contest, you saw a classic example of that. That guy, I forget his name, but you know, he was an ultimate performer as a human being. See? But because we live in this color-conscious, race-conscious world, he was a white boy that showed up all the so-called jumpers and leapers and predicted winners. I'm in the race. I got enough confidence in myself and in my skills to take this thing and then show us all the little, you know, stuff that goes with it after you do it. So he's taking advantage of the opportunity of a lifetime, in the lifetime of the opportunity. He's taking advantage of an opportunity in the lifetime of the opportunity. You don't get but 15 minutes, according to the philosophers. So you better make good use of it. Let them play in the background and produce a great white hope and get destroyed like the basketball player that was, I forgot his name now, way back in the day. But he could dribble like a black, I forget his name. Good career, but he had a bad after career. because he not not recognize it at the time. Well, I just give him one. I do know his name and I do recognize him, and he wasn't in basketball, but he was out there before, ahead of his time, and Elvis Presley. All of that songs and wiggling and Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog, you know, that was produced to, you know, to have to not have to turn to the black singers. That was what he was produced for. We got our own Nat King Cole or whatever it was, you know, but so we don't need y'all. And it didn't come about until they started going and investing in the music and say, hey, this stuff will sell. And if you watch the James Browns and whatever, what he had to say and what he finally realized, that I have to be the show and the business. And he began to do that. And Ray Charles was another guy who did that. I'm keeping my raw, my copies, my royalties, I mean, not my royalties, my masters. So you can't make money. They did it off of James Brown until they finally protected him. He was sampling James Brown stuff, still doing it. And he couldn't get no money from it. What am I saying? I'm saying we have to get a mind to address that kind of stuff. And you can't do it when you're angry. You can't do it when you're intoxicated. You can't do it when you don't understand how to do it. It ain't going to happen. You're going to bluff, you're going to be a wannabe, you're going to step out there, and you're going to run into some things that's going to buckle your knees, our knees. And if you're not surrounded with people who are healthy and wholesome, who can give you a hand up, tell you that that setback was a setup for a comeback, and then show you how to do it. That's what James Brown said. Get on up. Get up. Every time you get knocked down, physically, mentally, spiritually, any kind of way, morally, get up. And they tell you when you fall, fall on your back. You got a better chance of getting up because you got your face up. Fall face down. Literally and figuratively, I'm talking. See? Know the words to the song. So what we're going to do here is just pause for the cause and invite people or invite anybody who's on to, if you have a question or a comment, we ask you to take the time to do that now, and you'll be recognized. So state your name and where you're calling from, and I'll see if you're on the screen there. And like I said before, this is not stump the chump on y'all part, and this is not pressure cooker on my part. See, I'm wanting more than anything is for you to hear what I'm saying and have some comment about it without a judgmental comment. It made me think of, I agree with, and I could see how. Oh, wow, whatever. I mean, I'm not even trying to put words in anybody's mouth, but I'm saying a lot of times that's what happens. We get in our head and then we can't move forward with whatever it was we could say or would be able to say, but it's there. We all went through this thing called life. Life has taught us a lot of lessons if we let it. It's a nonstop thing. The lessons that life has to teach us. And we hear that word in Scripture. The Holy Quran tells us that the chapters, the surahs, and the ayats, those are what the lessons are. From the numbers, 55-55, 30-30, it's got volumes of knowledge and information and inspiration. The clue is when you see the numbers. Because everything is revelation associated with a divine plan like that. And what Allah does, He sends someone to point you in the direction that this is true. You believe it, and you start making connections. What we have to be careful of is not go down the road of some of the stuff that's a little mystical, or the fact that the unseen is greater than the seen, and that there's certain verses that are easy to understand, but there's others that need symbolism, and they need philosophy, and they need everything that the more sophisticated people do. The science, scriptural, is presented scientifically. That's where the scientist came with his understanding, the Quran. You just look at the numbers, the Arabic numbers. Roman numerals weren't going to go where they at now with Arabic numbers. It didn't have a zero, and it only went to, 150. I don't know what it went to. But they go now, and they have to have a sign, say infinity. They have to tell you that there's some life or planets and galaxies after light years away. What does that even mean? What's a light year? Means to me, it's a whole lot of time before you can even reach it, see it, know about it. So why don't they present it like that? If they were wise in the way that the scripture does, it tells you the concept of God, the creator, and trying to know that without introducing something physical is hard to do. Because they tell you you're going to meet God. The hand of God was here. The face of God. That's symbolic talk to introduce you to Allah. Then you hear all of these are Rab, and these are Rahman, and those are just attributes to understand. But at all times, it's one God, one creator. He's not flesh nor whatever. He didn't have children, and he didn't need children. He wasn't born from, he didn't have a father, and he didn't father children. And when you introduce something like that, and you have it around for such a long time, confusing people, leading people astray, giving them a weak definition for the creator. You see the oneness of the creator and the magnificence of the creator. See? Why is it like that? Because he wants us to really have a relationship with him based on the truth. Not what people started out with. They thought the sun was God. They thought the moon. They thought the wind. Everything. They had a sun god and a wind god and a moon god and all this. And that's understandable with the times that we're living in. The most powerful thing that they saw and thought was God. Or they thought it was a helper for God. So now in these modern times, you're able to understand God don't need help. And he doesn't sit somewhere up in the throne up there somewhere listening to us and giving us demerits and checking off, and he's not available sometime. Well, I know he's not available. So he reminds us, I'm available. I'm as close as your juggler brain. How close do you want that? I'm waiting on you to hear and obey, to be in compliance that I am Akbar. You got stuff that's too big for you. You and I, we have that. We have problems. Some stuff is just overwhelmed. We're just like, whoa, I can't even process that. I gotta sleep on that, brother. I gotta sleep on that, sister. We can get overwhelmed. Tears start coming out of our eyes. It could be tears of pain and sorrow. It could be tears of joy. That's the capacity that we have. But at the end of the day, who takes the credit for this well-rounded person that only uses about one-third of his potential or her potential? The Creator provided all the resources that we need to do what we need to do. Hardship or progressions that lead to productivity and progress. Sometimes you have to follow a certain sequence. I call that baking. And sometimes you don't. I call that cooking. See? And if you really have grasped that, I call that cooking with gas. Because now you got the skills. Now we have the skills. What does that mean? You can solve the problems, and you can be a teacher or an example to other people to help them solve the problem. What happens then? You're able to bring about a line of defense because you have united with other people, with a human, in the human race, with a human consciousness, and you're defeating the threat of Satan because you overcome the things that he, circumstances and consequences that he was trapping people up in. And the closer and the more you do that, the less he has power, because he's really got a flimsy, that's like they said, the spider web. He's just like the spider web. It's intricate. It's can catch you, and you're trying to get out, and you're getting further in trying to get out. It's all of that. Everything, that's a perfect example to describe him. Very fragile, but very intricate and very deceptive. If you've ever been out there and you get your hands or fingers or your face caught up in the web, you're like, wow, what was that? Spider web. And just transfer the spider web to your thinking and imagine intricacies and the deception that's going on with the Satan. And the other word that helps me, and I'm sure will help you, because he's using make-believe. He wants us to believe, somebody just got shot. He's acting so good that it looks like it's real. And then they award these people for acting so good and presenting this story or this movie to the public and making millions of dollars on it. And it has taken us out of the context of truth to do that. And now they have such special effects. It's so real in 3D and all that. Wow, wow, wow. And they come into our lives and our homes and via the TV and all the streaming that's going on. So Allah says, you know what? I better send you some help. You're going to need it. Based on what I'm seeing, you're no match. So I'm going to send you Ramadan in about 29, 30 days every year. And you use that. Because we put Satan in jail. Now, the overall Satan's in jail because you ain't supposed to be doing none of that stuff. But your Satan, our Satan, he's alive and well. He laying there lurching, say, you know what you're thinking. You want it to come, but you'll be glad when it leave. So let's just don't rush on through this thing. Eat a lot of good food, meals and whatnot. You know, fast the feast. And we can put another one on the calendar, another Ramadan out the way. Alhamdulillah. Well, that's not the way Allah is thinking. You should check it out. You're not thinking like that. But you went through Ramadan, and you're a better person now. You're better equipped. To do what? Equip others. Each one teach one. Each one reach one. That's the conversion rate. It's one person at a time. Don't you see? Do you hardly ever see 15, 20 people come up there and take the Shahada? One soul person, maybe two at the most. Then becomes how long you going to stay? How long before trying to establish the five prayers just wear you out? Because you haven't done it. You're making the prayers, but more than likely you're making them up. I ain't talking about making them up. I'm talking about you're not making them on time. So when it goes past that time, it's out for Asr. It's out for Maghrib. It's out for Isha. It's out for Duhur. It's out for Fajr. So Allah says, take the jihad. Take the challenge to get in a community that's Muslim and get in a situation to be able to respond
to the call to prayer. And especially the Friday call. Leave off all of that and come to prayer. But don't stay there spookily thinking, ooh, yeah, I'm just going to. I mean, if you want to, cool. But don't drop the ball. Go back to work. Because the object wasn't to get you away from that, like it's going to be terrible stuff. It's going to help you feed your family. It's going to help you make a contribution if you like your job and you like the people you're working with. It's a good environment to be in. Because when you go by the water cooler and meet, you're talking about sensible stuff. You're talking about respectable stuff. You're talking about needed stuff. So you need to be in a commune like that. Fellow human beings talking to fellow human beings. So Allah is not against that. But he is showing us the kind of strength we're going to need to be a kuma, a community. And then he's also telling us, Juma is not Uma. It's something you do on your way to Uma. But don't think because you've established Juma prayer, you're there. You get the Juma, the prayer, the social self, the social community, or social aspect of the community. So you got spiritual, social, and then the mind, the rationale. But it has to all be done in a balanced way. If that escapes, then you're not going to be able to do it. Not properly. Don't lose the sight of what's important. Emphasis that. Happens all done. It's happening right now. Excuse me. The two things that we were told we should remember, we let it slip away. The book and the life and example of Prophet Muhammad, Sunnah, if you want to say. Some people say his uswa. Doesn't matter which word you use. It's the application that you use to put those two together. And just like I was telling you about us as a people, can't nobody stop your comeback? Can't nobody stop you from getting your blessing for what you went through? And can't nobody make the contribution that didn't go through it like you can? That's what the Jews say about the Holocaust, because it's true. Think that God is some kind of sadomasochistic thing that just wants to see people suffer, and then he said, now you get a reward. Same thing that happened in Arabia. Those people were so backwards that nobody even wanted to be over there with them. So they were able to develop independently and develop a language that's a picture language that's very perfect as a vehicle for the Quran. Arabic. So he introduces Arabic Fusa to the people, changed their whole Arabic. But it has a lifetime of being able to bring light into the darkness of the world. Always be that way. He never changes it. That was the final step in delivering man the salvation that he needs, no matter what circumstance he finds himself in, no matter what opposition, what challenges we find ourselves in. Those are the two things that will get us out. And that was clear. If you were listening, Imam W.D. Muhammad, if you didn't stop when he was teaching and helping us get out of the Nation of Islam, and he moved on. By 10-year periods, he taught in 10-year periods to get his language established for the other language and take it down. And then he addressed another portion of our lives, and then he addressed the final portion of our lives to where we should be in good shape. To have our life back and get on with our life in the manner that everybody else was doing. But what a perception that very few people can have. Because what happened to us didn't happen to them. It's just like you as a man. You can't tell nobody what it feels like to have no baby. I know what you mean. No, you don't. You have no idea. You have no clue what a woman goes through when they have the baby. 9 months, another life another human being is inside of her in some water, comes out 9 months later, all wrinkly and looking all whatever, gets out here for a little sun and a little umbilical cord cut and a little food. And you just, oh, it looks like grandfather so-and-so. Or look just like me, spitting human. Look like your mother. Look like whoever look like. Don't even look like none of y'all. But that miracle called birth, it should, for the mind, first and foremost, wow. God is so wise. Look how he did this. And what does he introduce first and foremost to the parents? Labor, man. If you haven't been in there, if you haven't had one, I'm going to tell you. But I was there. And the last one, I was there with whole labor. In fact, I delivered the child, cut the umbilical cord, stayed there for the passing of the placenta, which was more almost whatever, dramatic and then whatever. And then you see what they want to really get is that afterbirth, stem cells and all that, and use them because they got parts or whatever. Or he just went crazy. Oh, man, this is hell. He was more excited about the afterbirth than he was the child. But what happened? You're looking at all this glory of things that the Creator has created, and you'll get a little drunk. You'll forget to say and mean Alhamdulillah. Even though you don't fall and prostrate, there's a part of you, there's a part of us that has to make sajda when those occasions happen. Because you know, as well as everybody else knows, Allah brought about that miracle. Yours and ours' responsibility is to take care of it like the miracle that came to us. We were entrusted with a child. Okay, I see you, 314. And now that child needs assistance to grow up. And you got to be there more than just the breadwinner. Or I'm wearing the pants type of stuff. Got to be more than that. So I'm going to start with that. We'll get 314 here. Because that's what life is all about. So 314, are we coming to you here? State your name and where you're calling from and whether you have a question or a comment. 314.
Yes, it's Samuel from Zane Pasha. Mark Shaheed here from the STL, the Gateway City of St. Louis in the Show Me State of Missouri. Just want to say Alhamdulillah, just what you just said a little while ago. And for those who don't know, Alhamdulillah means that all the praise and the thanks belongs to God. All the praise and thanks belongs to God, you know, for creating us to be human beings and for teaching us in terms of being human, just turn it around to be human. And what constitutes being a human being and the role and responsibility that Allah has given to us, Khalifa, with freedom, but also with responsibility for ourselves and also the environment in which we live. No other creation has that. You know, when you were speaking about, you know, the birth, it took me to the Quran, as always. And Allah says in Surah 46:15 that Allah instructs us to be kind to our parents. But then it begins, Allah begins to say to us that it is the mother who bore you in pain, meaning that she carried us in pain. And then you spoke about labor. And then Allah says, it is the mother who delivered you in pain. You know, it's when they start calculating in terms of the pains, the labor pains, and they come in so many minutes or so apart that she's in labor. That's very significant in labor. And finally the Quran says, and that she suckled you for a period of time, it stays 30 months. I mean, it could be up to that point. And of course, we know some mothers that are nursing, they may not carry the child. I mean, they may not nurse the child for that long, but up to that point. This is very important because when we look at, a hadith, in the life of the Prophet, I would say, in the life of the Prophet, it was reported a man came to him and asked him the question, who is it I should have the most regard for outside of God? And the Prophet said, your mother. Then who? Whom? Your mother. Then who? Whom? Your mother. And then the fourth time asked, then it said, your father. You know, Imam Nazim, when I don't read the Quran anymore, but as a student of the Quran, a student of Imam W.D. Muhammad, he taught us to make connections. And those connections, in this instance, there's three things that is stated in this ayat that we as men biologically cannot do. We cannot carry the life for 9 months. But we do our part when the sperm is ejaculated from us, and then it reaches the egg and the ova to fertilize it. We can't do any more after that point. So we can't carry the life. The life is carried by the woman. And it's painful at times. You know, if you ever been a father and you've really been there, depending on where the development is, you actually see the life moving in the woman's stomach and everything. Or sometimes in her pregnancy, you hear her holler, ouch, you know. And then I was there for the delivery of all of my children, every one of them, all six, and I raised seven. And so I had the opportunity to experience childbirth. It's quite an experience, you know. And my first child, I still got the nails in my skin for her, digging her nails into my skin, just holding on to my hand and my arm, you see, trying to be a good coach and encouraging. But I could never, like you say, experience that myself, and we can't. Nor can we feed the new life. So this is the mercy of Allah, Al-Rahman, the merciful benefactor, in terms of Allah creating and nourishing, sustaining the life, and evolving the life, you know, having what is needed and necessary. You know, that was a time when there was no Infamil, no Similac. Even after manufacturing, he's not been able to come close to the natural milk that Allah puts in the breast of the mother. So we can say Alhamdulillah, but the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, what he has created, but also what he has al-Razak, the provider, what he has provided for the life that he has created. So it's very, very important for us to know and to understand that and to make the connections why Rasulullah, the messenger of Allah, would say, who is it, when the man asks, who is it I should have most regard for? Three times, your mother, your mother, your mother, and then your father. And we find that in the Quran, in Surah 46, Ayat 15. I could say more, but I think I said enough. I'll stop there. As always, I'm enjoying ABC, Al-Islam-based conversation. Thank you. As-salamu alaykum.
Well, thank you, Salam, Brother Mark. Let me ask you a question here quickly. We talked about it a little bit on the phone, but would you refresh me and the audience that there are more wonderful programs that are rest of the week and for the ones that you might know and help them understand that this is not just what we're doing here on Monday, but it goes the rest of the week also?
Yes, most definitely. The beat goes on here on IWDM Radio. As you are listening live to Al-Islam-based conversation that airs each and every Monday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. those in the Central Standard Time, and 3 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, with a very distinguished esteemed host, Imam Nazim Pasha. On Tuesday, we have a production that's hosted by the very distinguished Rashid Salam. It is named The Science of Your Health and You, Learning Lab, The Science of Your Health and You. Also, his off-returning guest is instructor Abdul Shaheed, who is a professor of symptometry. And it's a science in terms of how we are constructed as human beings, the various systems in the body, in terms of how they are, their purpose and how they are to function, how we are to feed the cells and all. And they address the different aspects of the body and also the science of yourself. It's an interesting production. It happens each and every Tuesday night here on IWDM Radio. It begins at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 6 p.m. Central Standard Time and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio each and every Tuesday night. And on Wednesday night, it is the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with Dr. Patricia Slaughter-Dean out of Miami, Florida. She joins yours truly, Mark Shaheen. And this happens each and every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's 6 p.m. Central, and it's 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. And on that learning lab, we teach what is correct parenting from an Islamic base and how to reconstruct the destructive family life. Well, you'll really enjoy that. We ask that you bring an open mind, open heart, and bring your pen and pad, because there are a lot of great noteworthy things, and I'm always giving what I call gold nuggets that can actually be very beneficial to you. And we use the Quran, the life example of the Prophet in demonstrating the Quran, and the tafsir being the clear explanation by a scholarly teacher and leader, Imam Warfi Muhammad, in teaching that learning lab. So you don't want to miss that. Every Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. And it's followed by the MGM Roundtable. That is the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, hosted by yours truly, Mark Shaheed. As I always bring and present on the roundtable, very distinguished esteemed guests, just like you have here with Imam Nazim Pasha, and those outside of our community, but topics also that are pertinent to us as a community. And this being African American History Heritage Month, the whole of the MGM Roundtable is set for having those persons that can bring us great information, education in terms of our story, and so we don't get his story, and then we can have more of appreciation for what it is that we have done and have achieved, and our foreparents also. So that happens at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Central, and 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And we're looking at having Imam Shaheed Abdul, who is a Greco, Griot. And he has authored 5 books, outstanding publication. And so this Wednesday, he will be on, and he will be taking us back in our time in terms of culture. So you don't want to miss that. And then on Thursday, once again, the Sister Learning Lab is the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Karan Shakir out of the Jewel of the South. That's the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. And she joins, once again, yours truly, Mark Shaheed, on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. It begins at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's 6 p.m. Central. It's 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And we started last week a little mini-series on Islamic marriage contracts. Oh, you want to tune in and listen to that. I'm just amazed how many people don't understand how important and the benefit of an Islamic marriage contract, and that this is a part of what it is that we should have, and what Allah has said in the Quran, as we use the Quran, we'll be referencing the longest ayat in the Quran, which is in Surah Baqarah, the 2nd chapter, and verse 282. So you might want to get a jump start on that. But we'll be using that as our foundation, and there'll be a lot of information on what the Islamic marriage contract should contain. So you want to tune in for that. Friday is Salatul Jummah Day, Muslim worldwide. Those who are immobilized, who can't get out and about, they can come back to IWDM Radio with Imam Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sair. And that happens each and every Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Central, and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. The longest running production on IWDM Radio, it happens each and every Sunday afternoon, once again, with the very distinguished esteemed Imam Mikhail Sair, longtime resident Imam of Al-Nur Islamic Center there in Indianapolis, Indiana. And the name of his production is Words Make People. Words Make People. You always have very distinguished esteemed guests and topics that are pertinent to us as a community each and every Sunday afternoon, beginning at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's high noon Central Standard Time, and it's 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And that brings it back to the first of the week. And you listen live to ABC as Al Islam-based conversation with our very distinguished esteemed Imam Nazim Pasha. And so that is what is on IWDM Radio. And we're going to have special program, inshallah, as I will move the round table during the month of Ramadan to Saturday. And we'll be looking for a new production that will be happening after Ramadan on Saturday. And that production is going to be pertaining to the Ramadan sessions that was given by a scholarly teacher and leader, Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad. So you want to stay tuned to IWDM Radio for the start of that production. And we do ask that you support the Muslim Journal, as it has been the lifeblood of our community. Keep the subscriptions up. And then if you have the wherewithal, think of somebody that you can provide a subscription for, as a prescription for us too. So back to you, Imam Nazim Pasha. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, Brother Morgan. We appreciate that. We're going to make sure that we get that announced every week, because it's very important that people realize we have a variety of speakers who are qualified in their field. I mean, that's the thing that I love about this religion. It doesn't ask you to be somebody else. You got to be yourself and be your best self. Choose something
it's going to be original. It's going to be your version of what you saw or what you believe, you know, and it's not going to be made up. I mean, your frame of reference and your inferences will be from the source. You know, we have scholars both in our community and outside of our community. And so we don't have any reason to be teaching Islam rather than al-Islam. You know, the urge might be there. The temptation might be there. Because once you get a little knowledge, you can get you a little tipsy. We all know about it. And when we become a victim of it, then you realize it's very dangerous. You know, you have to do this for Allah. You have to be able to be Abdullah, the servant of Allah. And then you begin to see the benefits that comes, and you see the obligation, the responsibility that you're entrusted with, you know. People's lives. I'm not just talking to numbers, telephone numbers. I'm talking to someone's individual life. And some of those people are taking what I'm saying to heart, and they're moving with it, and they're looking for the results. And that's the way it should be. I'm not promising anything. Allah is in charge of everything. And sometimes we don't be patient enough to receive our blessing, to have our prayer answered, because we think, well, it's overdue anyway. I should have been it, and there you go. Your commentary, your our criticism and our hastiness, you know. A lot of people were rushing back to the new normal because COVID was just devastating. It made you feel like a captive. It put you in the house 7, 8, 10 days. It took away your job. It just did everything. But what it could have done, what it should have did, what it was part of what it was intended to do was to get our attention and say, hey, look around you. Look at your environment. Look at what's going on. You've been going back to work, home to work. You've been having all this freedom, and you've been doing all these things, and now you are at the mercy of an entity that is invisible, and it is wreaking havoc on the world. Now, you could be shaking in your boots and do whatever, but when we was on our cruise, what came out of that cruise was many things. A little, session of us just thinking about what does this mean? What should we be doing? And we discovered and we decided that we should be careful but not fearful. 773. I think I see your hand up there. So let me get to you right quick. But yeah, so Allah didn't bring all that about just to flex his muscle and show how powerful he was. He put us in those positions to stop, think on life, and can see that, as the prayer of serenity says, a lot of it is out of our control. So control what you can control, and leave that what you can't control alone, and know the difference between the two. If that's not wisdom, I don't know what it is. Because a lot of us are making that mistake. We're trying to change things that are not in our power to change. But anyway, we'll pick this conversation back up when we get our speaker in here. 773, state your name and where you're calling from, and whether you have a question or a comment. Okay, hold it. I'm not able to get you on for some reason. There it is. 773. Okay, do you have your mute on? Did you have a question or a comment? Okay. Testing 773. I don't hear anything, so I don't know.
Oh, assalamu alaikum. I don't know. These are smartphones. They're too smart for them.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Different features, and I'm like, study pulling the screen down and just pushing it back up. Assalamu alaikum.
Right.
This is Samir from Chicago. This is just acknowledgement of appreciation of who you are and the way that you deliver your message. You take your time and you speak to the being of the human being. And like you said, if it resonates with the heart, you can engage. You engage in thinking as you're talking. You know, if you really paying attention to what you're saying and it resonates, it just resonates. It's like almost like a family fireside chat in a way that you're speaking in a way that you want people to get it. You know, like a parent is talking to their child in a way of this is important, and you take the time and you deliver that message, and it just, well, for me, it just really resonates, you know, with me. I just pray a lot that he can give you a more vast audience because it's needed what you're saying, you know, and we can feel your sincerity when you deliver your message. So I appreciate that about you. But may Allah continue to bless you. And some later.
Alhamdulillah. Alaykum as-salam. Praise be to Allah. You know, I've been doing this for a little while. Let me see if I can get this here done. Oh, good. Cooperate. Okay. Let me see. I don't know why. Okay, let me try something different. Anyway, I'm going to have to leave you in the queue. I don't know why it's not doing it. Okay. Huh. I haven't had that happen before. But anyway, we got about 25 minutes left, so I want to cover a couple of quick things that bothers me. Let's see. Shouldn't be happening like this. Okay, let me do this. Ah, there it was. Okay. That's what it was. Okay, so. Okay, good. I see. Yeah, that was a help there. I got you. Okay, so let me conclude with something because what the sister was saying, it struck a nerve with me because everything else she was saying is what I try to do. But what I want to say to that, when you get blessed by Allah and you know it was only our God, you know only God could have did this. You know, God makes it known, or if you are aware or you're paying attention when something is coming from him and when it's directed to you because you qualify for it. You're doing what he asks you to do and you're conforming as best you can and you're overcoming a lot of the obstacles that it takes to do this over a consistent amount of time. And like I said before, it just takes over. And it takes up a space in your heart. What I've seen is so many people who hear the truth, declare it is the truth, but they walk away from it. Or they stop hearing it. They stop wanting to hear it because they realize they got such an uphill battle. They got such a lot of things to have to do to become their best self. And it's so easy to do, but at the same time, it's so easy not. And then the one that's right there with that, the easy to do and easy not to do. And a lot of people I've seen are making this mistake. It's just my description of it. But you can't solve ABC problems with XYZ information. You just can't. If you got an ABC problem, it's going to take an ABC solution. Can't fake the funk. You can't be wishing and hoping and praying. You can't be rolling the dice. You can't be pretending you know and you don't know. You can't be too proud to ask somebody who does know and make sure you're considering your sources because opinions are just like, you know what? So once you do that, and the creator of the heavens and the earth seen that you've done that, it's your due diligence and you qualify for an answer. Allah said, God said to us, I obligate myself
to help those who call on me sincerely. And that's what I found to be true. It ain't up like they do in the church. I'm going to lay hands on you. I hear somebody out there. I feel their need, and I'm going to ask the God to help. No. 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 We don't pass out no Happy Meals. We don't lay hands on nobody. This is straight up knowledge and wisdom, truth, you know, that comes from the scripture. And when you treat it like that, and you treat other people like that, to where they know you have their interest at best, your interest in, you know, in well-being is a genuine concern of yours. I want people to get it. I don't want the credit for giving it to them, because nobody, you know, I got it from somebody else too. So I'm not the source. That's what I'm saying. All I am is somebody who realized the power of the voice. I was just walking on the street, and it popped into my head that this religion, when it wants you to come to prayer, you are called by using the human voice. And you're called with this beautiful language called Arabic Al-Fusa, or the Quranic Arabic in there. And you don't necessarily always know what it's saying, but by the way what it takes for you to say it, you know it's important. All you know is you've just said something. You know, when you give the greeting properly, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Not Salam alaikum. Salam. It's not Salam alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. And when you put your heart and your sincerity in that, and you say it like it's supposed to be, this is the power or the peace that only Allah can give. I want to give it to you. And then they turn around and say, well, you know what? I feel the same way you do, because the Quran said, when I've been greeted with that, I give equal or better. Not to show up or show out. Not to give the best Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi yahi. No, that's not what we're doing here. Because if you don't understand, you need to understand, we need to understand, it's not the Arabic. The Quran is revealed in the Arabic, but not as Arabic. Meaning, the Arabic is the container, but the contents is the word of God. Okay, I'm going to say that again. The Arabic is the container, but the contents is the word of God. It's a tradition. You really want people to remember, you say it three times. The Arabic is the container, but the real contents is the word of God. It doesn't let you down. It addresses things in a way like nothing else has been addressed. It puts your mind and your heart and your soul at peace. See, some people can't get there. They can't get there in time. They get depressed. They feel hopeless and helpless. And the only thing that comes to their mind, I just want this pain to end. I just want this scratch. I want to be able to scratch this itch, and I can't get to it, and it won't go away. I see people walking the street, driving their cars with that look. And they've discovered that the big car, the big house, pretty wife, the beautiful children, the bank full of money only plays a certain role. And it won't make you happy. And it won't buy you happiness. And it won't give you respect. It won't. Why? It was not intended for that. You don't get wealthy so people can bow and kiss your ring and kiss other body parts. You don't get wealthy so you can tell people, do you know who I am? It's not the point. To belittle those who are less fortunate than you, you give the respect to the office, not necessarily to the person. Because the person then now lives up to the office. and that is to be a servant. That's what you're here. That's what we're here for. So when I get a chance to serve a meal like this, that I know that came from God because of what it did to me and for me. See, this is what it is. It works in your life, for your life, for the rest of your life. How you gonna beat that? How you gonna top that? You can't. Because that means anytime I'm ready to get knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, Allah is ready to give it. More than I can even imagine and count and fathom and apply and understand. What I have to turn around and be, what we have to turn around and be, grateful. That's all. I said, yes, look, I got it. I'm going to show you how I got it. And the only thing I ask you after you get it is to be grateful. One way is what? Share it with somebody else. How? Spook it up? Yeast it up? No. Keep it plain and simple. And let them know it comes with a guarantee. Satisfaction guarantee. You ain't getting nothing back. Because like you said, you can't match this. I can make that statement because it is going to give you some satisfaction. It's going to give you some fulfillment in your life. It's going to answer some questions that you didn't think. It's going to keep you from existential crisis. It's going to keep you out of your brain trying to examine something, talking about, well, I don't know, because it seemed like it ought to. Well, you're not God. Let that examination go. And just be a flesh and blood mortal human being who's trying to understand a little something, something about what they just heard coming out of a conversation with somebody who was inspired by God. Or when you're in prayer room, you're talking to God, God talking to you. And at the end, you can say what you want to say to God. You can make a dua. You can ask for this. You can tell him about this. You can do whatever, whatever, whatever. And he says to us, I will answer your prayer. And I am as near as your juggling ring. Don't be deceived by my description about this and far off and he's there. Because I'm not a physical entity. So you have nothing to even compare to get you to understand my being or my existence or my whatever. My breath, the magnitude of what I can do and will do and have done. And all you have to do is to qualify yourself, stay qualified. When you do err, repent, and mean it. Even if you're not all the way there, you get weak in the middle of the thing. Allah, what? He knows best. He knows our heart. See? And he knows if you're really trying or you're just faking the funk. You want to act like you want to do right, but you don't want to do what it takes to do right. See? It takes effort to do right in a world that's so full of wrong. Imam Muhammad recommended a book, The Moral Man in an Immoral Society. So guess what? He's calling a human being. Can't lead a human being out. So he ain't talking about moral men. Any human that wants to be moral in an immoral society that tempts you day and night. Eat too much, sleep too much, drink too much, sex too much, lusting after money too much, lusting after these new cars and glorifying your wife, glorifying your parents, your children, glorifying yourself. See? It can only cause trouble, pain, and it can only fall short of the mark. When you have the truth and you put it to work or you use it as ammunition to protect yourself, addresses. See, it adds dress when you make it two words. What happened in the garden? Took some of the clothes off, and they felt themselves as naked. So when you're in your garden, and you stand in your ground in the land, and you don't feel fully equipped, fully dressed, and you try to cover your dressedness by faking the funk, instead of being able to say, yeah, I was down. I know what it feels like to be down. I know what it feels like to be lied to and lied about. But I know that know ye the truth, and the truth alone will set you free. Nobody can say that with that kind of security or that kind of confidence. See, sometimes I used to think, I said, well, wow, it seems like God bragging on himself. No, I'm chilling like a T-I-S-T is. How you doing? I want to make it plain and clear because people are running around lying on me and lying to you about me, and you can't serve me or believe in me and trust me when they're telling so many lies about me. And I'm not threatened by the lies. I'm looking out for your welfare because you believe in some of these lies, and you're going to get caught up in a trap, and you're going to paint yourself in a corner, and you can't get out. And before that happens, I'm going to have an intervention, a divine intervention on your behalf, and I'm going to let you give me a chance for you to prove to me that you was worthy of your salvation. You're going to do something with that besides bragging and thinking that you all of that in a bag of chips. You're blessed, truly blessed. Now do what? Act like it. Act like it. With the utmost of humility. That's not me talking. Purification of the soul. It's not going to be right until you get right with that. What are your intentions? Are you talking like that? You suffering from all this old bad talk about you. Now you're trying to say you got your claim to fame is this? Are you really? Do you have an agenda with your preaching and your stuff going on? And if it is it to serve Allah by serving humanity, or is it to get some brownie points, get some clout, get some free creed? Tell them how it is. How you like me now? How you like me now speech? It could be. So we need to do what? Check ourselves. How often? Daily. Because you might have got bit by the bug. See? Satan is very subtle. Then Satan's little troop, little gangster, or his little men, or whatever you want to call them. They're very subtle. So know that and be respectful of that and be mindful of that. Sleep at the wheel. Just because you're moving don't mean you're moving in the right direction. And just because you have some signs of progress doesn't mean that it was a good idea. See, when you experience movement, you want to be going in the right direction. You want to be able to get the results so that people can notice and see that you were doing some things right. And then they want to mimic. They want to emulate all of those words that come with that. You and what you're doing. So if that's what you're looking for, and you're looking for to get God's blessings because that's what you're looking for, that's what you'll get. And I say, that's what time it is. So I don't look at the board to see how many is on board. Because like I said earlier, each one reach one. It's an obligation for us to reach out whenever we can and let other people know that they're not in this alone. Community ends with unity. So you lay aside your personal identity and you begin to merge in with a bigger crowd, community, associates, as Imam Muhammad calls us. But you're doing it in the name of Allah. You're doing it in the name of God. You're trying to be, what is it? Let there arise from you. I don't, you know, people call it all that's good. And forbidding what's wrong, you know. That's the community you want to be in a unified way. Supporting them because they're supporting something that you think is just as worthy, just as beneficial, just as needed. See? And then you go and see the David and Goliath piece. How many times has Allah used a few to slay, result in the benefit that he got? To slay, I think it's a large Goliath. And then he goes on to describe how Goliath is, how he looks like, and all that and all that. So hopefully, in 5 minutes that we got left, let's be mindful of one thing that I haven't mentioned that is very important out of all the things I've mentioned, and that is time. It's time for this. Let's act like it. Somebody going to do it because it's time. Now, whether it's going to be us, only time will tell. But as for me, what I heard, I'm trying to make my mark so that people will know that I'm a new man. I'm a new person, new kid on the block, new black man on the block. And I'm not talking loud and saying nothing. And I'm like James Brown. I don't want nobody to give me nothing. Open up the door, I'll get it myself. That's the cry. That's the heart. That's the spirit of a truly free person. And if you want that, you want your life to be your control, your decision making, not circumstances, not the past, this new set of information that's been placed in front of you and I, and it's waiting on us to internalize it, get informed by it, and then express it back out to a world that's in need of it. And then when it happens and somebody happens to get the light of truth in their life and they happen to start moving along and you see progress and you see light on their face and you see fear removed from their heart and stuff, give all the praise to the Creator. And do what? Go back to work. Surely after difficulty, there'll be ease. Surely after difficulty, there'll be ease. But don't forget that this is a continuous job. And don't let a little success stop you from laboring because we got a lot of work to do and most of it's uphill. And that means you got to have the legs and the lungs to do it. And that's just symbolic speaking. That's abstract speaking. But the journey is that. If you've ever been to Hajj, you know what I'm talking about. And the more days and the closer you get to Mount Arafat, you know the journey. But that seven circumference around the Kaaba, that is the challenge. Starts and ends that way. So we pray Allah that we've said something, shared something that you all more to take advantage of this thing in the lifetime of the opportunity that it is. It's an opportunity of a lifetime, but we need to be able to take care of it in the lifetime of the opportunity. Don't drop the ball. Don't get distracted. Don't pause for the cause. But do it in a balanced way because you can burn your own self out. We say you're trying to produce no martyrs. Don't give till it hurt. Give till it help. Don't give to what now you need charity. Don't look back and you united with people and all they had to offer was assalamu alaikum. This religion is real. Don't try to pay me with something that's not currency with what I need is currency. Let the greeting be the greeting. Let it be a salutation. Don't let it be an invitation for you to take advantage of me because I'm trying to be a servant in the religion. Those are things we got to understand. that goes on, and it turns people off because they say, oh, man, I thought y'all were Muslims. Y'all just like everybody else. We're not gonna give them an opportunity to say that. We're not like just everybody else. The Muslims of the past, the believers of the past, whether they be Muslim, Christian, or Jews, they stood out from the rest of the people. Not boldly, not braggadocious. They stood out because they stood up. And when you stand up for what you believe in, you're going to get the recognition of a human being who has belief system that he uses, that they use to develop their value system, and it develops their attitude about life and all the things that are connected to it. So we greet you with the greetings of peace for your participation. We ask you to invite someone next week to come out, not to hear me, but to stimulate and generate and let them know what you're hearing now, because it's time to hear it. And if your life is not in order and your affairs are not under your control, it's time to hear about how to get that done. And it's not about what he's saying. It's what God's saying. And I'm a conduit. I'm the messenger of the Monday night scene now. So thank you very much. May Allah bless you. May Allah reward you and guide you and protect you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.